Amen. Thank you, Miss Ava. I appreciate that. Let's take the Word of God tonight, and we will go to 1 Kings chapter number 11. Now, this morning we were in 1 Kings chapter number 3, and I talked about the wisdom of Solomon, how that Solomon asked God for wisdom. And I don't know about you, but I've thought about this all afternoon. Remember wisdom, he talked about it was an understanding heart. That's what he prayed for. An understanding heart is a hearing heart. I prayed this afternoon after the message, Lord, I want to have a heart that hears you. You know, I think that we don't take enough emphasis on hearing God, hearing the voice of the Lord. He's still speaking today. But are we living in such a way as to where we can hear the voice of the Lord? Well, it was wonderful that Solomon chose an understanding heart. That's what he asked God for, and God gave him that, plus God gave him so much more. But now we come more to the end of Solomon's life. And it's pretty sad that we come from chapter 3 now to chapter 11, and I want you to look at Solomon now. What happened to his wisdom? And I think tonight it is very important that no matter where you are gifted, you can still turn from the Lord. No matter how spiritual you have been in the past, you can still turn from the Lord. And tonight, I want to preach to you on the tragedy of turning from the Lord. The tragedy. We come to 1 Kings chapter 11. Let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. It is a sad commentary on the life of Solomon now at the end of his life. And I want you to remember something very important tonight. The first half of Solomon's life was very blessed. Here was a man who followed after God. Here was a man who was used of God. In fact, let me remind you some things about Solomon's life. He had amazing first half, if you want to call it that. In fact, you know, Solomon finished building the temple and the royal palace. It took him 20 years to complete this task. You can imagine what they were like. He had completed the temple and he had established a central place of worship of God. Solomon was all about worshiping God. He had brought peace and prosperity and blessing to the people of his nation. And folks, tonight, none of us will probably attain to the wisdom of Solomon. But I want you to remember this. But we can certainly duplicate his foolishness. There have been many of men and women who in many years of their life, they served God. They had a heart for the Lord. Their heart was turned to God and they worshiped the Lord and served Him. But then the later half of their life, their heart was turned away from the Lord. Solomon should be a warning to every one of us here tonight, including myself, that no matter how close we have been to the Lord in the past, we still have a heart that is deceptive, a heart that is desperately wicked, and we must know tonight that we could turn just like Solomon. So tonight, the tragedy of turning from the Lord. And by the way, turning from the Lord is a ever-present and a real danger for every single one of us. But what happened to Solomon's life? Well, I'm going to give you some few thoughts tonight. I pray that God can use to warn us so that we do not get on this path of turning from the Lord. You know, I can think back, and maybe you can think in your mind, to even preachers that we have heard preach, that it seemed that God really used them. And then their heart turned from the Lord, and they were not serving the Lord like they once did. Folks, we must know today that our heart is just like the heart of Solomon, and we can turn from the Lord. Now, what happened in Solomon's life? Number one, he rationalized his sin. Now, that's very important to understand. Solomon's sin, now he was sinning against God, but how could he sin against the Lord? Well, he rationalized it. He justified his sin. Do you know that that is what we have to do to all sin in our life? By the way, do you know that God never intended for us to handle sin? Now, I want you to remember this. In fact, when we sin, God put an automatic response within us called guilt. Do you know that when you sin, there's guilt? You ever seen a little child before that the child is lying to you and know they're lying to you, and you know what's written all over their face? Guilt. I mean, they look guilty, do they not? They act guilty, do they not? Because it is an automatic response that God has put in every single one of us. But when sin is done to us, there's another automatic response, and it's called hurt. Well, folks, you cannot handle guilt and you cannot handle hurt without the grace of God in your life. We need God's grace to forgive, but we need God's grace to seek His forgiveness and His cleansing. So Solomon, how could he sin? How could he get to the place where he built gods, false gods, for all of his strange wives, and he wanted people to worship these false gods? How could Solomon get to that place? Well, first, he rationalized sin. Now, let's take our Bibles, go to Deuteronomy chapter number 17, because you say, well, Pastor, what do you mean he rationalized sin? Well, let's look at some commands that God had given to Solomon, but he violated those commands. In fact, did you know that God's word is in many ways a safety net for all of us? It's boundaries. God's word tells us, don't do this, don't look at this, don't listen to this, don't go to that place. God's word is a boundary. It's a safety net. But you know what we do? If we begin to step over the Word of God, justifying, rationalizing our sin, kind of condoning our sin, hear me out, you will get to the place where Solomon got, where your heart is turned from the Lord. I don't want to get to that place in my life. So I want to deal with the things that God deals with in our lives in the very beginning. In fact, I think it was a great preacher said, keep short accounts with God. And you know, the ideal there is the moment you sin, confess it and forsake it and turn to the Lord. In fact, did you know that all sin is turning from the Lord to yourself? Absolutely. Because the ideal of sin is we turn away from what we know is true, what we know is right, and we turn away from the Lord. Well, Solomon, his heart was turned from God because he justified, he rationalized sin in his life. Now, Deuteronomy 17, let's begin in verse 14. Now, here's commands that God gave to his people. Deuteronomy 17, verse 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me. All right? A king. Solomon is the king. Like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But listen, God said, if you go into the land, then make sure that if you have a king, make sure that he's one that God has chosen. Well, we know that Solomon was that very man. But look at the commands to the king. Verse 16, but he, talking about the king, shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. God says, don't go back to Egypt, not even to get horses. I mean, God was very clear about that. Forasmuch as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. God said, don't go back to Egypt. By the way, do you not think that there was some pretty neat things in Egypt? Absolutely. Do you not think that there was things in Egypt that would catch their eye? Absolutely. There were temptations in Egypt. God says, don't go back there. Don't multiply horses and don't go to Egypt even to get the horses. We read on here. Verse 17. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now, folks, what I just read you, I think all of you, you have warning signals going off. Solomon broke all of those. He broke all of those. Now, you say, well, Pastor, how could he do it? Well, he rationalized his sin. Let's look at them. Now, okay, first, he should not multiply horses. God was very clear. Well, why does that seem such a problem? Well, here's the ideal. Do you know that if they were to multiply horses, the idea was now they are putting their trust and their confidence in what man can do or what man can provide for them. But Solomon could have rationalized and said, for the safety of our kingdom, we need to have lots of horses so that when we go out to battle, we can do great battle for the Lord. I believe Solomon rationalized that sin. But God said, do not multiply horses. In fact, Psalm 27 says, some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Right. You see, Solomon rationalized that. Solomon no doubt thought, well, I've got to do this because we need to keep the kingdom safe and I've got to take care of my men. He rationalized his sin. Number two, that he should not return to Egypt. Well, we know very clear that Solomon did return to Egypt. In fact, he married wives from Egypt. I think he had to go there in order to do that. But you know, in a sense, Solomon just rationalized. Could it have been that he thought, well, I'm trying to keep a good alliance with Egypt and other nations? He rationalized his sin. Number three, he was not to multiply wives. Well, Solomon definitely multiplied wives. I mean, 700 wives and all the concubines that he had. Folks, now, I understand that Solomon's desire in this was that no doubt it was a means of national security for him. You see, the idea was Solomon would marry the daughter of a king, and obviously there would be a healthy reliance there on the surface. I mean, hey, look, if you're going to marry the daughters or the king's daughter, then obviously they're not going to go to war against you. So no doubt Solomon thought to himself, this was really just a smart decision to make. This is what kings do. But it was really an act of defiance and an act of rebellion against God. He rationalized his sin. Folks, it almost seemed that good relations with pagan neighbors became more important to Solomon than his relationship with God. He rationalized his sin. But number four, he should not multiply silver and gold. You see, Solomon, I mean, he received great gifts, did he not? But God was clear in his word. Now, by the way, folks, do you know that so often God gives us commands that on the surface to the human wisdom and to the human mind don't seem to make sense. I am sure that Solomon had all kinds of people advising him that, Solomon, it's good to marry into another kingdom. I mean, this is good. This is healthy. We need alliances everywhere. We need to make sure that we have allies. And Solomon, this is good. He had to justify his sin. And maybe he thought multiplying silver and gold, well, I'm building things for the Lord, and I've got to have all this gold. But Solomon rationalized his sin. Do you know that in our lives, one compromise that we make inevitably leads to another compromise? And that compromise becomes bigger, and that becomes bigger and greater, until finally we are just like Solomon. Our heart has turned from the Lord, and it began with just small things. In fact, the Puritans used to talk about small sins like small snakes. And they used to say, if you don't deal with the small sins, guess what? Those little snakes will grow into big serpents. And folks, it is true in your life, and it is true in my life. I wonder tonight, I do not know about your life. I do not know about where you are rationalizing things. Are you rationalizing things with maybe your time away from the house of the Lord? I know you're here tonight, and I appreciate your faithfulness. But it's easy to rationalize. I had someone tell me years ago they had missed a few weeks of church, and they were back into church. Thank the Lord for that. But you know what they told me? They said, preacher, after a couple of weeks, it's easier to miss another week. Right. And you know what it is? It's easier. And it's almost as if we justify missing the house of the Lord for something else. But folks, I'm sorry, but the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We are not to forsake God's house even for a good reason. Now, the Lord understands if you are sick and physically not able to be in the house of the Lord, but we are not to justify that. What about it comes to the matter of tithing? Do you know that it is easy to rationalize that? It's easy to justify not giving God what rightly belongs to Him. Folks, I've heard every excuse about justifying not giving the tithe to the Lord. You know, people can justify it. I remember hearing years ago about pastors justifying it, saying, well, the Levite in the Word of God, he did not really give the tithe. Folks, I'm sorry, but I still pay my tithe and give my tithe to the Lord and give an offering to the Lord because I believe God's Word teaches it in His Word. Amen. We can justify anything. We can rationalize any sin, but let's look at it as face value and say, God, am I obeying Your Word? Or have I justified and rationalized this sin? Are we looking at things that we would have never looked at years ago, but now we justify them? We rationalize them. I had a man say to me years ago when I was a youth pastor, he said, well, I'm a man, I can handle things like that. And I thought to myself, just because you're a grown man does not mean that sin is less sin in your life. Folks, may God help us tonight that no matter what we are looking at and what we are listening to and the places that we are going and what we are taking into our body does not violate Scripture, because if it does, it is sin. Boy, a big discussion today is about the drinking of alcohol. Boy, it's huge, even among Christians. To where Christians even say today, well, I just don't think it's wrong. And I don't, folks, I'm sorry, but God's Word clearly says that we are to abstain from any alcohol beverage. Right. Listen, the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I'm afraid many Christians today are deceived in thinking that it is okay to take alcohol into our body. Even the use of drugs today, marijuana, whatever it may be, we've rationalized so much. Folks, I think Christians 50 years ago would be appalled at the Christians today. I think they would say, what is going on? Folks, Billy Sunday used to go into towns and preach, and bars would close because he preached against the demon of alcohol. And yet today, many, many of God's people justify and rationalize the drinking of alcohol. You see, what has Solomon done? How has he got to the place to where his heart has turned from God? He is worshiping other gods. It began by rationalizing his sin. You know, folks, we often ought to come before the Lord and say, God, deal with any area of my life that needs to be dealt with. We ought to take everything in our life and say, Lord, does this please you? Or have I justified this sin in my life? Have I rationalized what I'm doing now? And years ago, I would have never done this, but now somehow I have justified this. Oh, may God help us tonight to ask the Holy Spirit to correct our thinking and to judge us as only He can judge us, to see if we're rationalizing sin. But number two, here's something else Solomon did. Not only did he rationalize his sin, he refused to agree with God. You know, I do not want to disagree with God Almighty. But folks, are you willing to agree with God? Are you willing to say the same thing that God says? In fact, you know, my heart and your heart is so deceptive and it is so desperately wicked that, folks, we can actually disagree with what God says. That's why we need to be knowing the Word of God, knowing what the Bible says, because what God's Word says, that's what we need to agree with. I'm thankful to have this Bible club that God has given us at the middle school, and what a blessing it is. And you know, when I speak to those kids and I want them to know the truth and I talk about the truth, this is what the Bible says. And I talk about gender and I talk about, you know, our purity and whatever it may be. This is what the Bible teaches. I know what the world says, but let us agree with God. Folks, I want to be on the side that says, I agree with the Lord, I stand with the Lord, and that's who I am following. But not Solomon. Solomon came to the place where he said, I don't agree with God. In fact, do you know that Solomon really is a case study of the subtle heart of mankind and the subtle nature of sin? I don't think for Solomon it happened overnight. I really don't think that. I think it was step after step, step after step. Maybe, and no doubt, there were people in Solomon's life that probably said to Solomon, Solomon, you don't have the same devotion to God that you used to have. Solomon, turn to the Lord. But maybe Solomon in his pride and Solomon in his arrogancy, maybe the kingdom was going so well and maybe he had gone so far, he thought it was too far to turn back to the Lord. Brethren, tonight, no matter where you're at in your journey, you are never too far in your journey to turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, really, you know what revival really is? It is turning to the Lord. Now, I remember when Caleb Reed preached and he talked about how that God pursues you and me. And folks, you know what God pursues us for? So that we turn to Him. He does pursue us. But brethren, we are to turn to the Lord. And by the way, my heart is just like your heart. What's the hymn say? Our heart prone to wander. Lord, I feel it prone to leave the God I love. Folks, you get out of His Word. You don't spend time in prayer. You get out of the fellowship of God's people and your heart will turn from the Lord. Listen, our hearts, they are not sanctified. Your heart is as wicked as it will ever be. It's as deceptive as it will ever be. And our hearts, God's Word turns our hearts to Him. I want you to think of Solomon's life. I mean, Solomon, in the beginning, Solomon worshiped God. In the beginning, Solomon made wise decisions to follow the Lord. You know, so often we want to live on past blessings. We want to live on past days of walking with the Lord. And those were wonderful. But I want to ask you something. Where are you now? Where am I now? Is our heart cleaving to God? Or have we become like that church at Laodicea where the Bible says, thou art neither cold nor hot? God says, I would rather you be cold or hot. But God says, because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. You know, doctors years ago, if they needed someone to throw up, they would give them lukewarm water to drink, and it would often cause them to throw up. God says, I will spew you out of my mouth. Think of that. Brethren, tonight, are we agreeing with God? You know, in fact, I remember the Bible tells us it about Noah. And it says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah, what does the Bible say? Walked with God. Don't you love that phrase? He walked with God. Now, Amos, the Bible tells us, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Do you know that if I'm walking with someone, let's say that my wife and I are walking together. I love to walk with her. But let's say that my wife says, I want to go this way and I want to go that way. Guess what? We can't walk together. It's impossible. What if my wife says, I want to walk down here and I want to walk up here? We cannot walk together. Guess what? When we walk together, you know what there is? There's fellowship. There's communion. I talk to her. She talks to me. We can be close. But if she's walking on the opposite side of the road and I'm walking on the other side, there's no fellowship there. I mean, that would look kind of strange. You drive down my street and my wife's walking on one side and I'm walking on the other. You might think, something's wrong there, you know? Or if I'm walking one way and she's walking the other way, you're like, well, that didn't go good, you know? And for folks, I wonder, are you walking in opposite direction of what God has said in His Word? Are we going against the Word of God? We are not agreeing with God, then you cannot walk with the Lord. Noah walked with God. Noah said, God, you have said this. I agree with it and I will obey it. I want to be a man who walks with God, but we must agree with Him. Number three, and the last thing tonight, and not only did he rationalize his sin, he refused to agree with God, but number three, he replaced his worship of God. Now, here's something very important to understand. Solomon broke many of God's commands, all right? But can I tell you where it first began? It began with the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Right. Now you may say tonight, well, preacher, we don't have any other gods. Pastor, I don't have any statues in my home that I worship. I don't have anything like that that I bow down to. Well, folks, we're a little more... I don't know. We're a little more, justified in how we worship. But you know, tonight, every one of us, we worship something. Or may I say, we worship someone. In fact, six times in the first nine verses back in 1 Kings chapter 11, do you know what we find? We find that Solomon's heart was led astray. Six times. The Bible says his heart was turned away. His heart was led astray. Now, it's amazing that Solomon's story begins in chapter 3 that the Bible says, and Solomon loved the Lord. But by chapter 11, the Bible says that Solomon loved many strange women. You say, well, what was wrong? Solomon's worship was not right. Do you know that our worship has everything to do with our life? In fact, folks, idolatry always comes before immorality. Right. If you study God's Word, you will find that idol always comes before immoral living. Right. So tonight, what about your life? What about my life? Are there gods that we worship? You say, preacher, I just don't really think this. But let's think about it just for a moment. Let's think about what is really idolatry. By the way, think about Solomon. How could he rationalize Solomon's moral lifestyle? I mean, let's be honest. His moral lifestyle was horrible. I mean, it was in the depths of despair. How could he do that? He had to shrink his view of God. You see, immorality always partners with idolatry because idolatry replaces our worship of God. You see, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yes, God is saying you're not to worship some strange image, some idol. Absolutely. But it's more than that. Idolatry is a heart issue. It deals with the heart. Every one of us tonight, you're worshiping something. You're either worshiping God or you're worshiping something else. In fact, what is idolatry? It is moving God out of His rightful place in our day-to-day lives and replacing Him with something or someone else. Now, did you hear what I said? Idolatry is moving God out of our day-to-day lives and replacing Him with something else. And tonight, I just want to ask you the question. Are you an idol worshiper tonight? Of course not, preacher. I don't do that. I do not worship idols. But let me ask you this. When we allow anything apart from God to rule us, to compel us, or to control us, we have created an idol. We've created an idol. In fact, Martin Luther said, whatever your heart clings to and relies upon, that is your God. It's your God. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Psalm chapter 135 tonight. Psalm chapter 135, and this will be in closing. But tonight, idolatry. We often think of, those terrible pagans who worship idols. And we almost look at Solomon that way. But before Solomon ever bowed down to a false god, he was worshiping another god. Now, what was the god of Solomon? Well, in fact, the Bible says that his wives turned his heart from the Lord. He began to worship his own self, and he began to worship in a sense. By the way, do you know that we live in an age or a society that worships the false god of self? This really is the me generation, is it not? It is all about me and about how I feel and what I want. And, you know, you got to take care of you. I'm not saying that we should not have rest and we should not draw nigh to God and rest in the Lord. But folks, we live in a society that idolizes self. In fact, today, it's almost as if you make me feel bad, you're the enemy. It's a strange world in which we live in. I've preached messages before, and it's not been against anybody. But people get mad and upset. It's God's word, and you know, it's almost as if the person telling the truth, they're the enemy now. If it makes me feel bad about myself, if it does not help me to feel good about who I am and what I am doing. No, brethren, tonight, it must be a worship of God. What does God want for my life? What does God's word say? But tonight, idolatry is really at the heart of the issue because we are made to worship. You will worship something and I will worship something. But here's what Psalm 135 tells us. Let's begin in verse number 15. Psalm 135, verse number 15. It says, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. But look at this. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Do you know, brethren, that we become just like the God that we worship. We become. Okay, for instance, let me give you. Folks, if we worship self, we become very selfish and self-centered people. Because we worship self. So guess what? That's what we become like. Because the Bible says that it says they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. If we idolize wealth, then we tend to value it above everything else in life, even the things of God. Folks, whenever we look to something other than God to fulfill our deepest needs, to satisfy our deepest longings, to give us hope, or to even to define our identity, we have slipped into idolatry. You see, what I turn to when I am sad or hurt or lonely, that is my God. That's my God. For instance, we go back to the issue of alcohol. Why is alcohol so wrong? Well, God's word says it's wrong, but it is often what people worship. When they're down, depressed, that is what they turn to. It is their God. But can I tell you this? If we turn to television when we are sad and down and depressed, that has become our God. When we turn to anything else other than God, we are worshiping another God. Solomon, how could he come to the end of his life? I mean, think of Solomon. Think of him making gods for all of his wives to please all of them. I don't know how many gods they worship, but there must have been a lot of gods. And Solomon is making these gods, and he is teaching his people to worship these gods. He has heard from the true and living God. He has never heard from those gods. And yet, Solomon, how could he get to this place? Well, he rationalized his sin. He refused to agree with God, and he replaced his worship of God. Tonight, you know what we ought to do? We ought to say, Lord, what am I rationalizing and justifying right now in my life? And folks, you may think it's small right now, but it is not small before God. You're rationalizing maybe a thought life. You're rationalizing viewing. You're rationalizing your speech. You're rationalizing the places of entertainment that you're going. You're justifying those based on however you want to rationalize it. But I'm telling you, your heart is turning from the Lord. And then tonight, do you agree with God? Do you stand where the Lord stands? And folks, this ought to be our standard right here for all of life. Folks, this book is not out of date. This book is relevant for this day in which we live in. Amen. And we stand where God stands. Are you agreeing with the Bible? And then, where is your worship tonight? I don't know what you worship, but you worship something. You say, well, preacher, we come to church. I worship God. Folks, you can come to church and still not worship the Lord. You can attend a religious ceremony and still worship a false God. Tonight, let the Lord do His work in our hearts and let us seek Him. And tonight, turn to Him. Because, folks, if you do not turn to the Lord, surely your heart will turn from the Lord. May God help us tonight. It's the tragedy of turning from the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your precious word. And Lord, we need You. You know our hearts like nobody else knows our hearts. You know what sins we have rationalized. You know areas where we're not agreeing with You. But I pray tonight that we would be faithful. And I pray that, God, You would do a great work in our hearts. Lord, help us to see where we have replaced You for something else. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would be honest tonight and say, preacher, the Lord has dealt with me. I believe there's some areas in my life where I have rationalized sin. I've justified it. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand? That's me, Pastor. Amen. Amen. How many tonight would say, preacher, God has dealt with me that my life would agree with God. I want to walk with God in agreement. If that is you, would you say, preacher, pray for me. Amen. And how many tonight would say, God has dealt with me about whom I am really worshiping. And tonight, I want to worship the true and living God. That's me, preacher. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? That's me, Pastor. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. And tonight, let's let the Lord have His way in our hearts. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing together, and we will respond. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your precious word. We thank You for Your goodness, and we thank You for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, tonight, may we not end up like Solomon. Lord, I believe tonight, maybe there are many of us here that we could, Lord, tonight turn to You so that we do not have our hearts turned from You. Lord, tonight, deal with us tonight. May our hearts be tender and receptive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. We'll go to hymn number 26, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Tune my heart to sing Thy praise. Let's sing it tonight. But if God has dealt with you, would you come tonight and let the Lord have His way. Hymn number 26.
Come Thou Fount.
I want to thank you for being here tonight, and what a good day the Lord has given to us. Ladies, Tuesday, pray that you'll be a part of the ladies' Bible study, even in the morning or in the evening. I know that'll be a great blessing. And then pray for me on Tuesday afternoon. I've got the funeral. Sometimes they call me from the funeral home and ask me to do a funeral for a family that does not have a pastor. So you pray for me on Tuesday. I think around 4 o'clock I'll be preaching a funeral. And just pray the Lord will be glorified. And I get to give the gospel, so I'm thankful for that privilege. But you pray it'll go well. And then pray for Bless the Harvest Sunday. How many still knows that someone you can make a phone call to try to get to hear on Sunday? Anybody here? All right, great. Well, make that phone call this week and tell them, hey, we're going to feed you good. Man, we're going to feed them, all right? Farmers like to eat just like anybody else, all right? So we're going to feed them well, a special gift for them, a nice gift. And we just want to be a blessing to them for this coming Sunday morning. So you pray concerning that. Let's close in a word of prayer tonight. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word that speaks to our heart. And I pray tonight that we would leave here thinking about this issue of our heart. Lord, I pray that our hearts are turned to you in prayer and in devotion and worship. And God, is throughout this week, Lord, we pray you bless this coming Tuesday with the ladies' Bible study. May that be a wonderful time of encouragement and blessing for the ladies. I pray for this funeral that I'll be doing. And we pray for the Bible Club on Friday. And we pray for next Sunday that, Lord, we have a good group of farmers that will be here and their families, and that we can just be a blessing to those in our community. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.